This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All of the believers, like Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman, and he exposed who were the hypocrites amongst, hiding amongst the believers. But what about in between? What about people who are not the best of believers, but they are believers and they also fall into sin? But Surah At-Tawbah includes a story about this kind of person too, in the form of one of the great Sahaba, Ka'b ibn Malik. So one of the stories that come towards the end of the surah, and this story is narrated in the books of tafsir by Ka'b ibn Malik himself. He states that when the time came for Tabuk, the Prophet ﷺ gave a general call telling everybody to come. And when the Prophet ﷺ tells everybody to join him, then not to join him would be a sin. Right? At that point, to go out in the army of the Prophet ﷺ would have been fard, it would have been a compulsory act. And not doing so without a legitimate excuse would have been a sin. And Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he ended up not going. And he says that he didn't have any excuse. It was simply a matter of procrastination and laziness. And there's a lesson there for us, because many a times we end up falling into sin because of the same reasons. That we say we'll pray our salah later, we'll go for hajj later, we'll give our zakah later, and later never comes. The same thing happened here. Ka'b kept saying that tomorrow I'll prepare to join the Prophet ﷺ. Tomorrow I'll prepare to join the Prophet ﷺ. Until one day he realized the Prophet's army already left a few days ago. It's too late to catch up. And so when the Prophet ﷺ returned from Tabuk, and he was sitting in the masjid, and he called everybody who did not join to come to the masjid and explain why they did not join, because it was a sin not to join. Ka'b says he went to the masjid and he saw hypocrite after hypocrite speaking lies and lying to the Prophet ﷺ about why he did not join. Another part of the narration, he mentions that when the Prophet was gone, he walked around Medina and all he saw were hypocrites. And he realized he had made a big mistake. So now it was his turn, and the Prophet ﷺ asked him, why did you not come with us? And he decided he's not going to build a sin upon another sin, he's going to speak the truth. And he told the Prophet ﷺ, I have no excuse. I have no excuse. After that, as a punishment to him and two others who had the same story, two others who also had no excuse and they fell behind, they were boycotted by the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba for a few weeks, until verses were revealed in the surah. There's a verse in the surah where it says, Allah has forgiven those three. It mentions those three. It's talking about Ka'b ibn Malik and the other two who stayed behind. And when these verses were revealed, the news was sent to Ka'b, and the Prophet ﷺ rejoiced and celebrated with him. Now, the benefit of this story is that even the best of Muslims can sometimes fall into sin. But if we are sincere and we try to follow up our sins with good deeds and we do tawbah and we repent, then Allah can forgive our sins. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed this to happen to one of the Sahaba, so we can see in there a role model of how to deal with our mistakes. That we don't follow up a sin with another sin. We speak the truth. We make tawbah. We handle the punishment that comes with having committed a sin. And eventually Allah will forgive us and we can move back up. And so our religion is a religion for those who sin. It is a religion of forgiveness, a religion of mercy, a religion of always finding your way back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This surah ends with one of the most beautiful du'as in the Quran. The last verse of Surah At-Tawbah is the du'a, حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. حسبي الله, Allah is enough for me. عليه توكلت, I put my tawakkul in Him, I trust Him. وهو رب العرش العظيم, He is the Lord of the mighty throne. It is mentioned in a hadith, and yes, the scholars have deferred on the authenticity of this hadith, that the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever recites this du'a 7 times every morning and evening, Allah will take care of him. And so it is a sunnah and an established practice throughout the Muslim world that after Fajr and after Maghrib, we recite this du'a 7 times. Right? The closing verse of the surah. The other surah we're going to recite tonight is Surah Yunus, which is one of the early Makkan surahs revealed to explain to the Quraysh what is a prophet and the purpose of the prophets and the purpose of sending prophets. Because the Quraysh were not familiar with the concept of prophethood. And so it discusses the stories of some of the prophets. And this is interestingly the first surah in the Quran named after a prophet. Every surah we did until now is not named after a prophet. Baqarah, Nisa, Ala Imran, none of these are named after a prophet. The very first surah in the Quran named after a prophet comes right here. This is Surah Yunus. And what's interesting is the first prophet ever mentioning any revelation was also Prophet Yunus alayhi salam in Surah Al-Mulk that comes towards the end of the Quran in 29 parah. So Surah Yunus is basically a message to the Quraysh of Makkah, explain to them what is the prophet and why Allah sends his prophets, and the necessity of the message and the importance of following the messenger. So these are some of the lessons we can take from tonight's recitation. Subhanallah, Rabbil Izzati Amma Yasifun, wa salamu ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.